Morning. Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here this morning already. I appreciate Eldon's devotions on thankfulness, something that we so easily can forget. And then in our Sunday school lesson, we talked about the foundation and the blueprint. I had to think, how would it be to get up and preach if that foundation hadn't been laid and we didn't have the blueprint? It'd be pretty difficult to get that accomplished. This morning, I'd like to look at a subject that every one of us have a responsibility to fulfill. And to look at being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. As we know, an ambassador is a representative or a messenger that's conveying a message for someone else. If you look up the word ambassador in the dictionary, it would say an authorized representative or messenger, most commonly known as an official residing in a foreign country representing his own country. Now, if you today would travel somewhere where they've never ever seen a follower of Jesus Christ, and you would introduce them to the fact that there is a higher power, there's a Jesus, and they would look to you to show them what that is, what would they see? If they would start imitating exactly who you are and what you do, because that's what a Jesus follower does, are you okay with that? Are you okay with somebody imitating exactly what you're doing? I'd like to look at that this morning. You may turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 20. Is where I get the title to my message. Starts in and says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." That is my focus this morning, is how can we be ambassadors for Jesus Christ? I'd like to go up in this chapter now, and starting at verse 17, and read these verses. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." I'd like to, again, focus on verse 20 and read part of it in the Amplified Bible. It says, "So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal as it were through us. We as Christ's personal representatives." Somehow that verse has really, really struck me recently. Is, if you think about it, that God is in heaven and he is trying to make an appeal to all mankind to follow him, to accept him. And so he sent Jesus on the cross to fulfill the plan of salvation. But now it is up to us as his personal representatives to make that attractive, make that happen. A little history on why this, I guess, is laid on my heart so heavy is, I find it interesting to ask different ministers how they prepare their messages or when they study, and There's one in particular that told me that Saturday morning before he preaches, he goes in his study and he shuts the door and he doesn't come out until his message is finished. Well, let me tell you, I don't think that would work for me. Oftentimes, my messages, I call them, they're in the crock pot for a long time. They're thoughts that come to me, and they kind of just keep cooking until I sit down and put it together. This one, my last trip to Bangladesh, here a couple weeks ago, it hit me again. When I land there, and I come up to customs, and they ask me why I'm there, I struggle with it every time, because the reality of the matter is that it's a Muslim country, and if I told them that I'm there to preach Jesus Christ, they would not let me in. So I go in under a tourist visa. So I'm a tourist. And this last time, the guy, the customs officer, was probably about the same age as I am, and he looked at my passport and he paged through it. I have 7 stamps in there of arriving in Bangladesh, or this is my 7th stamp, in less than 3 years. And some of the times I've spent 3 months there at a time. He knew and I knew that I'm not a tourist. So he looked at me and he, in Bangla, he asked me, so what do you work here? Okay, so I'm entering this country on a regular basis and I can speak his language. I'm not a tourist. But he was convinced that I'm obviously working there. And I just simply answered him that I'm there to visit friends, which that was true, and he let me go. But this time, when I met people on the streets and they would ask me why I'm there, I decided to tell them that I'm there to preach Jesus. I can't tell the custom officer that, but I can tell them that. And so I tried to do that because it is very unusual for them. When they see a white face, they do not expect you to tell them that you're an American. Very few Americans go to that country. They think maybe you're an Australian or a European. And when the minute that you tell them you're an American, they think of 2 things. You can almost guarantee they're going to say these 2 things. One of them is Donald Trump. They instantly want to know where you are with Donald Trump. And the other thing is movies in Hollywood. They think of America, that's America. So it is my job, even though I have an American passport, to show them that my citizenship is in heaven and that I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And that just somehow just really hit home to me how important it is that if we are Jesus' personal representatives, and there's people, especially in other countries, who do not know what that looks like. Now, if you just simply tell the people there in Bangladesh you're a Christian, they can kind of identify with that, but they think Donald Trump is a Christian, they think the movie stars are Christians, they think some of the very corrupt people in their country who say they are Christians are Christians. So the best thing to tell them is that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, but as soon as you say that, then you better be a follower of Jesus Christ. That's very sobering to me. Paul in Ephesians 6:19-20 makes another mention of being an ambassador. He says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Think of Paul. He wrote this while he was in prison. He was under arrest for preaching about Jesus. So he could have stopped preaching about Jesus and thought, well, maybe some way they'll let me out and then I'll start again. But he said, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So my question today is, who do we represent and what kind of ambassador are we? Because all of us, whether we want to admit it or not, we are representing something or somebody. Every person out on the street, when you see them, they are representing something or somebody. There's many different illustrations you could use. I thought about using a little object lessons this morning, but I decided not to. But just for an example, if you're stopped at a stoplight in town, and you're just sitting there looking at the red light, and suddenly beside you, you hear this real heavy music, your whole car starts to vibrate. Without even looking to your right at who's in that vehicle, you pretty much can have an idea what you're going to see, right? You're going to see an older pickup truck with a farmer sitting there with bib overalls, right? No. You know that's not what you're going to see, okay? I just yesterday saw, he was coming up behind me. He had his hat on backwards, the music was pumping, and he was driving a convertible Ford Mustang. That fits that music a little better, doesn't it? So I guess what I'm trying to say is that we are representing something. If we are representing Jesus Christ, or say we are, then make our life line up to that. Point number one, an ambassador must represent the one who sent him. So I'd like to highlight that point again, that does our life show Jesus in the way that he wants to be portrayed? If we take this serious, what this verse said, that we are Christ's personal representatives, that we better be portraying Jesus the way he wants to be portrayed. I think all of us can identify with that if we have a business and we have employees, we want them to represent us and our company in the right way. As an employee, you can get fired for not representing your company the way you're supposed to. As a salesman, you could get fired or sued for misrepresenting a product. Do you ever think that God is disappointed with how we represent him? I'm sure he is. Or maybe we think we are representing him and he doesn't even know us. Turn with me to Matthew 7 for an example of that. Matthew 7, verse 21. It says here, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. How can that happen? How can that be? These people thought they were prophesying in his name. They were casting out devils in his name. But Jesus told them that he didn't know them. What can we learn from this account? How can we be sure that we are representing Jesus Christ and not ourselves? How can we be sure that we are in God's kingdom or not? I'd like to try to answer some of those questions. Point number two is, an ambassador will be known by his fruit. Think about it again. If you are in a foreign country or somewhere where they've never seen a Christian before, what are they going to imitate the most? The way you talk? The language you talk? Or are they going to be looking to what you're doing? I think they're going to follow and imitate what you do. If you go in this same chapter, if you go up to verse 15 through 20, I will read that. It says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." So I think this passage is very, very clear. As grapes do not produce thorns, and thistles do not produce figs, if we are ambassadors for Christ, we will be representing him. We will be, the attributes of Jesus Christ will be found in our words, in our actions, in what we do. But I guess what's sobering to me is what it says there in verse 15. It starts in with the word beware. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. So what he's saying there is not all sheep that look like sheep are actually sheep. So it's obvious that we have to do more than just look like a sheep. That's very obvious. We have to be a sheep. And sometimes I'm afraid that too many people go through life imitating sheep. They learn to bay like a sheep. They eat grass like a sheep. But they totally forget to be a sheep. That's what the scribes and Pharisees did. They kept the law, at least they said they did. They went through all the motions of looking or trying to look like a sheep. And that is why Jesus found them so repulsive, is they were not who they said they were. They were not sheep. Which brings me to my third point. An ambassador cannot bear fruit unless he is real. You cannot bear fruit unless you're real. Do you ever see a beautiful bowl of fruit on somebody's table, maybe their dining room table, and discover it was plastic? They were fake. Or a beautiful bouquet of flowers that turned out, again, to be fake. Is there something like artificial plastic Christians? Unfortunately, there are many people who look very good on the outside, but only after you really get to know them do you find out how fake they are. God forbid that that would ever be said about us. Again, in the same chapter, chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 28 and 29, it's talking about Jesus. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." What stood out to the people? What was so astonishing? I'll tell you what was astonishing. Jesus was real. He preached and he taught and he lived what he believed. He was not ashamed to live out what he believed. And that is what's going to set us apart from so many people who are pretending to be sheep, is if we know what we believe and we are not embarrassed to say it and to live it. That is truly being real. Why is it then so hard to be real? Why is it so hard to be real? I thought about that for a while. There might be a number of reasons, but I think the biggest one is fear. We're afraid for many reasons. We're afraid that people might reject us. We're afraid what they would think about us. There's so many reasons that people are not real. But I think if we were honest with ourselves, we appreciate people that are real. We like to do business with people who are real. We like to work with people who are real because we can trust them. We know that when they say something, that they actually mean it. So then why aren't we real? I think it's because we have not gained control of some of those fears. I'd like to turn to 1 John 4, for just a little bit on fear. Go to 1 John chapter 4. Starting in verse 15, 1 John 4:15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is, as he is, so are we in this world. And there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Somehow I think if we could truly grasp the tremendous love that God has for us, and that if he is dwelling in us and we are connected to him, that should help us overcome those fears. If we could truly grasp that, I think we could be more real. I really do. Because he says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So I just put that as a challenge to try to identify, if you discover that you're not being real, try to figure out why you're not being real. Because we need to be more concerned about what God thinks about us than what our friends and peers think about us. And again, just to finish this point on bearing fruit, sometimes I think we put too much effort into trying to bear fruit or being a sheep. And just let's focus on being a sheep or being a follower of God, and the fruit will follow. It will be a result of that. Point number 4. An ambassador needs to be in constant communication with the one who sends him. So if we are an ambassador for Jesus Christ, we need to be in constant communication with him so we know what he wants us to do. If you think about that, if I was an ambassador for the U.S. to a foreign country and I would never communicate with America, I'd probably start looking more and more like them and doing things their way, instead of being a true ambassador. So it is very important that we stay in communication with the one who sends us. I have 5 practical ways to do this. And with each of these 5, I have a verse that goes with it, and I might just fairly quickly read down through here. We need to hear the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So we need to hear the word of God. That's one way we communicate. Number 2 is we need to read the word of God. Revelation 1:3 says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." So if we want to communicate with God, we must read the word of God. The third one is we need to study the word of God. Acts 17:11 says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." Do we know what the word of God says? Do we study it? Do we dig into it? And if somebody asks us a question, do we have the answer for it because we know the word of God? Again, if you are going to represent Jesus, then you must know the teachings of Jesus. We need to memorize the word of God. Psalms 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Joseph was a perfect example of that. When he was tempted to sin, he knew it was God's word was hid in his heart. Immediately he knew what to do. Number 5, we need to meditate on the word of God. Psalms 1, verse 2 and 3, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I think we all would agree that we want to prosper in being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. But the only way we can do that is we stay in constant communication with him. I came across an illustration to try to bring out how important this communication with God is. And obviously one of the ways we communicate with God is to have personal devotions. It's said that the early African converts to Christianity were earnest and regular in their private devotions. Each one had a separate spot somewhere in the jungle that they would go and pour out their hearts to Jesus. And they had a little paths leading to these places of worship. And they soon became very worn, and you could distinctly see where each path went off into the jungle. But you could also tell when they started to decline in their devotions. And what they would do, they would kindly remind the one that had the path that was starting to deteriorate. They would say, "Brother, the grass grows on your path yonder." Brothers and sisters, if we want to be ambassadors for Christ, we must communicate with him. Don't let the grass grow on your paths. Don't. Because you will lose. You will lose out very quickly. Don't let the grass grow on your path. Point number 5. An ambassador will be bold in representing Jesus. In Acts 4, we see an account of that. Acts chapter 4. A very familiar account. It says, Peter and John, we know the story, had gone up to the temple, and they met this man, and through being an ambassador for Jesus, they healed him. Breaking in at verse 7 of chapter 4 of Acts. The high priest had called them in, and it says, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power and by what name have ye done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by which what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole.'" Can you imagine being that bold? Jesus was crucified, and his followers could very easily have been crucified as well. But here, Peter and John not only were totally ready and willing to identify with Jesus, they even challenged the leaders and said, "The one that you crucified." Tremendous, tremendous representative of Jesus. It goes on and says, "This is the stone which set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now verse 13 says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." I can't think of a better compliment that anyone could give us than if they would say that they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Tremendous testimony of someone who was willing to be bold and declare the gospel regardless what danger might face them. And they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Let that be said about us. Point number 6. An ambassador for Christ will be the hands and feet of Jesus. This is even getting more practical. An ambassador for Christ will be the hands and feet of Jesus. Again, as I said earlier, Jesus did his plan of salvation, and now he's in heaven. And he is expecting us to be his personal representatives here today. So we need to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Jesus was a tremendous example of this. I don't know of a better example than the way he lovingly and unselfishly took care of the needs of others. He had time for people, and he was totally impartial in caring for their needs. Whether you were rich or poor, whether your name was Zacchaeus, or whether you were Nicodemus, or if you were that Samaritan that we heard about this morning, who was healed from his leprosy. Jesus saw every human being as a needy soul deserving his love and attention. Matthew 9:36 says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Jesus had compassion. He cared about people. He took time for people. Let's turn with me to Matthew 25. I think we're all very familiar with this passage, Matthew 25, verse 31. Matthew 25, verse 31 to the end of the chapter. We know this account, and there's two key phrases in here that really need to stand out to us. It says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them from one another as shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of this world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee we hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto also them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go into way into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." The two key phrases are, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." And the other phrase has a few words different, but it says, "As much as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me." How can we make this practical in our lives? How do we know who these people are that we're supposed to minister to? Well, I'm going to tell you a story. Hopefully I have time to do this. A story of a family that I met on my last trip. There's a man, his wife, two teenage daughters, and a teenage son. And four of them we baptized this last trip. The son had been baptized earlier. What I'd like to tell you is this man, for 4 years, was very, very sick. He had big open sores that would not heal. He went to many doctors trying to figure out how he get these sores healed. He could hardly work anymore. He could hardly take care of himself. And he had a lot of these sores. And they finally decided that it had to have been leprosy because it just wasn't healing up. So they had an appointment with it. A leprosy doctor, but it took a while to get there. So anyway, in the meantime, the followers of Jesus in his village spent a lot of time in his home. They would go in and they would bandage his sores, they would clean it up, they would help him out of bed, they would pray with him, they spent a lot of time with him. And God chose to heal him. Before they ever got to the leprosy doctor, another doctor finally figured out that it was a very bad case of cellulitis and gave him medication, and the sores healed up. But the tremendous testimony of that man, he said, I want to follow who you are following, to these people that were caring for him. He says, I want to be a follower of Jesus. And the reason I want to be a follower of Jesus is because the Muslim community that I'm a part of never showed this kind of compassion and care. They didn't have time for me. They did not come to my home. They did not wash those horrible-looking sores. They did not bandage them. They did not spend time with me. But these people did. He said, I want to be a follower of Jesus. And he gave his heart to the Lord, and his entire family did. And we baptized them. That's one story. There's a number of other times when we interviewed people, you'd ask them why or how did they come to know Jesus? And they would say, well, my neighbor told me about Jesus. He showed me a different way. That, my friends, is being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. That, when you get to the end of time and you stand before the judgment of God, he will tell you, inasmuch as you have done unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. In conclusion, you may very well be the only Bible the world is reading. And people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Those are quotes that we're all familiar with. An ambassador for Jesus Christ is God's man in God's place, doing God's work in God's way for God's glory. I'm going to read that again. An ambassador for Christ is God's man in God's place. In other words, we're taking God's place, doing God's work in God's way for God's glory. It's not about us. And another reason this is sobering to me is the verse in Revelation. I read in the Amplified Bible. It says, Behold, I am coming soon, and I shall bring my wages and rewards with me to repay and render to each one just what his own actions and his own work merit. Brothers and sisters, the time is short. Someday we will stand before God and give account for how we represented the gospel. May we be found faithful. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pause in your presence this morning. Thank you so much for your word, for the foundation that we can build on. Father, thank you for sending Jesus, that we can build on that foundation, and that we can be followers of Jesus, that we can be imitators of Jesus. And Father, as we go through life, help us never to lose focus of that. Help us in everything that we do and say, that we can be followers of you, and that others can see you through us. Father, just take us out of the picture and allow them to see you working through us. Father, help us to have a compassion and a love for all mankind like you showed us. Help us as we go in and out of our doors, as we spend time with other people, help us just recognize the needs that are there and show your great love to them. And Father, in the judgment day, help us that we can stand before you and hear you say those precious words, that we have been the hands and feet of you. So Father, we need your strength, we need your wisdom, we need your guidance. And Father, help us as brothers and sisters in the Lord, that we can help build each other up, and we can work together to be ambassadors for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.